Thanks for joining us here at Generation Church North Georgia, where our desire is to bring people of all generations into a fresh relationship with God. If your life has been impacted by our teaching and you would like to share your story, please visit us online at generationchurchnga.org, where you will find the Share Your Story link. There you can also find more information about our church and an archive of past sermons. Thanks again for joining us, and we pray you be encouraged by today's message.
So if you was hoping I was, I'm not, so I hate to disappoint. But I've got a word, I believe, for you this morning. I stepped over to Pastor Wayne. Sometimes I just like to share with him, just tell him what's in my heart. It's so important what you said right there. God don't have a plan B. I got three verses of scripture. God's doing some amazing things here in Generation Church. Amen. Would you not agree? God is working. God's on the move. God's on the move. And I'm moving with Him. I won't stay stuck in a rut, anything. Won't do it. But I feel that God is looking to... I believe God is wanting to transform North Georgia. I believe He's looking to transform White County, Habersham, Rabun, Stevens. I'm believing that. I really believe it. But He's got to start somewhere. And I've given permission to start here. Amen? Start here. Start in this place. I want to read three verses of Scripture. This will probably be a little different than what you're normally used to. I don't know. I'm just like, Lord, You just do what You want to do. I want to read three verses of Scripture to you, and then I'll give you my title. In John, the 20th chapter and the 22nd verse, talking about Jesus, and when He said this, He breathed on them and said unto them, receive you the Holy Ghost. Luke, the 24th chapter, verse 49. And behold, this is Jesus speaking, and behold, I send the promise of My Father upon you, but tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Then Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith He, you have heard of Me. He was reminding them, this is nothing new. You've heard Me talk about this. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. I want to use for a thought this morning, the Holy Spirit is God's plan. It's God's plan. When I stepped over Pastor Wayne, he said, God does not have a plan B. And that's true. You have to accept God's plan, what He wants. And I want this morning to deal with that the Holy Spirit is God's plan, because it's where He's taking us. And I know, and can I tell you, I'm so thankful for every one of your backgrounds that is here, so diverse. So diverse. And I know many of you have never heard really the teaching about the Holy Spirit and it being God's plan. That's what I'm doing this morning. I just want you to open your hearts and your spirit to what God is wanting to speak to you today and receive. I'm going to try not to be too lengthy at all, because I want to pray with you. I want to see what God's going to do. Amen. Father, we love You. We praise You. You're amazing. You're just absolutely amazing. And I love You. I praise You. Father, You're exactly what we need. Holy Spirit, You're what we need in the house. This, You're already here. I pray, intensify. Manifest Yourself. For You said that the manifestation of the Spirit is to profit everyone. Let not a one go away from this house not profited in the name of Jesus. And I give You the praise. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Give the Lord a praise as you're being seated. Father, we love You. There's a move of the Spirit in these last days for those who desire it. And I'm going to be very calculated in what I say this morning, because no misunderstandings or things, but I want you to pay attention. There's a move and there's a hunger in this church. There is a desire that I feel like it's been, that so many of you have carried for years, and now then you feel the place to where you can openly express and you can pursue after God. You can pursue after His presence, and I want to commend you for that. But I also want you to know in the same breath that Satan fears a move of the Holy Spirit. Scares him. It's the fear, for the simple reason it always destroys his kingdom. So therefore he fears it more than anything. If you will ever get in touch with the Holy Spirit in your life, if you'll get, and when I'm talking about Holy Spirit, I'm not just talking, I'm talking about being Spirit-filled. If you'll ever get in touch with that, for that reason, because he fears it so much, he attacks it and he tries to pervert the message of the Holy Spirit, or he tries to render it ineffective. He tries to water it down. He tries to tap it down to where it's just a common, ordinary thing that happens. What has resulted in modern Christianity, we've got a lot of churches that's got spirit filled on the title, but there's no spirit in the church. And I'm not here to speak negative about church. I'm just telling you the reality. And I want you to know this. God loves his church. I love his church. I love the body of Christ, what is happening. But I believe in 2024, we're about to see one of the most corrective periods in the church world that we've ever seen, that God is rearranging. He's getting everything set back up. And because of that, it's going to cross people's thinking. But the results is chaos and confusion. Many people today, there are pastors that are standing behind pulpits that are willfully ignorant of the power of the Holy Spirit. People that are just afraid and they say, I don't want to deal with it. That's scary. I think I'll just avoid that. We'll just go back. And can I tell you this? Good people, good men, good women, they're going to heaven. Okay? Don't think I'm saying or not. I'm not. But I'm just telling you, there is a willful ignorance that many people have chosen, desired, and have desired to do. And that will, and part of the reason, the biggest reason of the ignorance is fear. It's the spirit of fear. A lot of pastors, can I tell you when you deal, how many of you know people are messy? Do you live with, my wife would tell you, I'm messy. She said, all I do is pick up after you. I'm like, baby, you needed a job. So husbands, just tell your, and I just say that, don't take that wrong, baby, I love you. Help me, brother, and help, you're bad as I am. I need the Holy Spirit right now to come rapture me out of this. I give her purpose, let's put it that way. I give her purpose. If she don't have any other purposes in life, she's got one falling behind me. Thank you. Boy, that's tough. Anointing just left the building. Holy Spirit said, I'm not touching that one. But here's what I want to do this morning. I want to bring clarity to the subject. I want to bring a place. The Holy Spirit is God's plan. There's not a plan B. There's not another plan. There's not something else that God's going to do. You can't sit and wait and say it's going to be something else. You've got to understand this. The Holy Spirit is God. He is God. He is the third person of the Godhead. No less God than God the Father and God the Son. They are co-equal, co-eternal. They exist together. We understand for our understanding. The Word says this. We have God the Father on the throne. We have Jesus at his right hand that is interceding for you and I. And the Holy Spirit is at work in this world to accomplish the purposes of the kingdom. So when we understand that, that God has a plan, the moving and the working of the Holy Spirit is God's plan. It is not man's plan. It is not something that men sit around in a room and they prayed about and said, oh, I think this is what God is doing. That is not the case. This is God's plan. I want you to listen to this statement right here that the Holy Spirit really put in me. To walk in the fullness, I'm using this word, the fullness of God's plan in your life, you must embrace the working of the Holy Spirit. I didn't say that God's plan won't be accomplished and things happen, but to have the fullness of God's plan. And see, I'm like this, I want everything God has for me. I don't want to miss one thing. I don't want one I not to be dotted. And I don't want one T not to be crossed. But see, so many, they've been put in the fear of the message of Pentecost. And here's what the Lord said to me. So I want you to tell me this. This is where what a lot of things that are said don't hold water. So you're going to tell me that the devil come up with a plan to encourage believers, to empower them, to give them gifts, reveal supernatural things of God. Now, this is talking about the devil's come up with his. The power to cast out devils and heal the sick so that he could blame himself. Give me a break. That's what it said. People say, oh, Pastor, you don't understand. It's all the devil. Okay, so the devil created the Holy Spirit where we could all be encouraged, filled with the Holy Ghost, cast him out, and all that, just where he could be blamed with it. It doesn't hold water. God's got a plan. See, if Satan can convince you that the Holy Spirit is not God's plan, then half of his battle's already won. If he can convince you that this thing, it was just for the apostles, or it was just for another day, it was just for 30 years ago or 50 years ago, half of his battle has already been won. But I want to go and say, what does the Word say about it? Because, see, I will tell you this, it's not about my opinion. It's not about what I think. It's not about what my take of it is. But I want you to go back to the Word of what it says. And I'm just going to take you through a very short journey right here that I want you to understand that the Holy Spirit is God's plan for your life. It's God's plan for this church. It's God's plan for what He wants to do in the world today. That's what He said. Here in John 1 and 33, John said, I baptize you with water, but Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. So He said, this is not happening. This is not the baptism. John was saying, this is not the baptism, but Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. In John 14 and 7, here's what Jesus said. He shall be in you, not just with you. See what happens that when the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, we know positionally that He's in the world today, that the Holy Spirit is everywhere. You can go so many places and feel the presence of the Holy Spirit, but there is a level that is deeper than that. Not only will He be with you, but He will be inside of you. Can I tell you, I've got the Holy Ghost living on the inside of me, and I wake up in the morning time, and there's automatically a praise. Why? Because the Spirit of God is living on the inside of my being. I can feel the rush and the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. He's there because here's what John said in John 7 and 38. He that believes on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And here's what the Word said. And this spake he of the Spirit. That's why you say, well, Pastor, you're going crazy. You don't understand. I'm caught up in a current. I'm moving. I got a river flowing through me. And sometimes I've just got to follow the river. You ever jumped in the middle of the Chattahoochee and get in some currents and some rapids? I'm telling you, here's what happens to you. You lose control. You're going where the river's going. Can I tell you, my mind is made up. I'm going where the river's going, where the river is moving, where it's trying to pull me and take me to. That's where I'm going to. If He says jump, I'm going to jump. If He says get on my knees, I'm going to get on my knees. If He says raise my hands, I'm going to raise my hands. I want you to know that you can have on the inside of you a river of life called the Holy Ghost that will flow out of you and will bring you power and anointing you've never before experienced in your life. You should praise Him for that. But here's what He said. But He's not yet given. At this moment, it's so important to understand that, because it would be a coming event that would be in God's timing. That God had it set up exactly how it would happen, when it would happen, and the exact place that it would happen. But see, here's what happened. Jesus keeps preaching and teaching on the Holy Spirit because it's God's plan for the church. He's letting them know, there's coming a day. John 14 and verse 6, here's what He said. He said, I will pray the Father, and He will send you another comforter. And a lot of people say, okay, I'm cool for the comforter. The comforter is okay. Really? Who is the comforter? He was said in verse 26, but the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. That's what the comforter is. The one that when you say, I need that Spirit around me. And then He begins to start talking about Him. And here's what He begins to enumerate about the Holy Spirit's work. He said, the Father's going to send Him in my name. Do you realize that Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Ghost? It's not a man that baptizes you. It is Jesus that baptizes you in the Holy Ghost. And here's what He said. And He's going to teach you. See, I was blessed to be able to go to Bible college, but some of you can't. But can I tell you, you don't have to. You can get in the Word, get full of the Holy Ghost, and allow the Spirit of God begin to speak to you and compare spiritual things to spiritual things. And you begin to understand that. Why? It's because the Holy Ghost will teach you exactly what you need to know. It will keep you out of deception, that spirit that has been loosed in this world. He said, and I'm going to send Him in my name, and He's going to bring things back to your remembrance. That's how come I know that God does not want us afflicted with Alzheimer's or dementia. Part of the work of the Holy Spirit is what? To bring it back to my remembrance. So can I tell you, if you'll fill yourself with the Word of God and the power of God, it'll squeeze the rest of that stuff out. Lord, fill me up with You and with Your presence and with Your Spirit. He said in verse 29, He said, I'm telling you this before it happens, so that when it happens, you will believe. I'm going to give you the heads up. I'm going to show you, I'm going to tell you everything that's going to happen to it. But when I do that, understand the reason that I'm telling you all of these things is that when you see it begin to transpire, when you see it begin to happen, that's one of the reasons that I'm preaching this morning on the working of the Holy Spirit. Because when you begin to experience it in your life, you say, okay, that's what Pastor's talking about. I begin to feel that rush, that anointing. I begin to feel that tingling. Listen, I've had times I've had the Holy Ghost on it. My belly, I felt I was just jumping up and down and my body go numb. You know what? I know exactly what it is. And I want you to know and understand when the Spirit of God begins to move in this house, it's time to jump into it. It's not the time to run and doubt, say, oh my God, what's going on? Let me tell you about what's going to happen before it happens. That way when it happens, you say, just let me have some of that right there. If it's good for you, Pastor, I want it too in my life. He said, because that way you'll know and you will believe. John, the 15th chapter, he's going through 13, he's going through 14, he's going through 15. Jesus is teaching about the Holy Ghost again. See, this is not just a passing thing that he's doing, but he's teaching over and over. And he says in verse 26, he said, he is the Spirit of truth. He said, he's going to testify of me when he comes and shows up in the house. I want you to know this, we do not worship the Holy Spirit. We worship Jesus. He said, when he comes, he's going to speak about me. He's going to testify about the works that I've done. That's why whenever you hear these praise and worship songs, it begins to talk about the goodness of God and Jesus and winning the battle at Calvary and our sins underneath the blood. That's when you see the Holy Spirit begin to intensify, because he said, that's what I'm about. I'm about lifting up the name of Jesus. I'm about exalting the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And what we are doing, when we praise, we are actually aiding the Holy Spirit and what his job is in our life. So he said, I'm going to send him. Jesus said, he will testify me. So Jesus, do you realize Jesus is so anticipating the coming of the Holy Spirit, knowing what's going to happen, knowing it's God's plan for the coming church. No, he said in John 16, he said, guys, he said, I just want to put you in anticipation. It's important that I get out of here. King James puts it this way, it's expedient for you that I go away. The quicker I get out of here, the faster the Holy Spirit is going to show up in your midst. He said, I've done a good work here, but I'm ready to get on back. I'm going to go down to hell and beat the devil. And as soon as I get to the throne, I'm going to dispatch the Holy Ghost. He's going to come back and he's going to work in your midst. I want you to know, Jesus said, let me get out of here where the Holy Ghost can come. I'm telling you this morning, I'm saying, Holy Ghost, come like you've never come before. See, the Holy Spirit is ready to get to work in this world. What he's doing, he's convicting sinners. He's leading you into all truth. He's showing you things to come. That's what Jesus said he was doing. But yet, Jesus got crucified. And a lot of people are like, well, was it over? Because, see, the Holy Spirit hadn't come yet. He's still not here. He's still not there. But in that one of our texts, John 20, 22, Jesus had just been resurrected. How many of you know that always emphasis is put on first thing said and last thing said? It's always important. What was the first thing? I mean, most of you can tell you what your baby said, the first word he ever said. You mom and dad, you know if mama got said first or daddy got said first. It was important. But did you know it's scripturally important when things, the law of first mention, that the things that was said in John 20, 22, where they were right here, Jesus had just been resurrected. This is the very same day this scripture happens. And it says so the same day. Disciples are huddled behind the door, closed up because the word says they're in fear of the Jews of what's going to happen. They're all worried about it. Jesus, the appearing of that day, of the message that he would say, would be the most important thing. What would he say? What would he do? And the word said this in verse 22, and he breathed on them and said, receive you the Holy Ghost. First thing out of his mouth. First thing to thee for these disciples that are huddled behind closed doors. And he said unto them, and he goes over and he goes, literally, the translation is the ruach, the breath of God blows on them. I'm saying, Holy Spirit, let the breath of God blow on Generation Church. Breathe on us once again. Let it blow. That's how come that when you read in Acts 2, the sound of a rushing mighty blowing, a wind that had come out there. And it was there in the room that day. And he breathed out of all of the things he could say. He could have said, don't worry, don't fret, go and buy you a new camel or get you a new wagon, or what, but that wasn't what he said. He breathed on them and he said, receive you the Holy Spirit. In other words, he was saying, this is the most important thing. He was letting them know that the Holy Ghost outpouring was the most important thing, and it was the message of the hour. I want you to know this morning, especially if you're listening to me by social media, that the message that the church needs to hear this morning, it's not how wealthy you're going to be. It's not how many private jets you got. It's not how big your buildings are. What the church needs to hear this morning is the message of the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. We don't have anything else. You can have lights, you can have cameras, you can have fog machines, you can have the best of everything. But can I tell you, if you don't have the anointing and the move of the Holy Ghost, you don't have anything, because without Him, life is void and not even worth living. Hallelujah! That is the message of the hour. It's not, are we going to, well, Pastor, I want a dignified church. Well, you missed it. That was his message. Then in the Gospel of Luke, Luke begins to write and say again, and the message of priority is again happening. Jesus is being taken away. He's out there on the Mount of Olives, and he begins to repeat this. And in Luke 24 and 49, what I read, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. It wasn't coming from an earthly source. It was coming from the heavenly source in our life. And then we go to Acts 1 that Luke is beginning to write again. And Jesus is speaking his last words. Remember first words and last words. He's speaking his last words once again. And here's so important. So important what he said. And here's what he said. But wait for the promise of the Father which you have heard from me. He said, don't go anywhere. Don't do anything. But I love this. Here's what I said in verse 5. He said, and John baptized you with water. Here's what he was saying. This is not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about you going back down to the Jordan River. I'm not talking about you going into the temple and sprinkling you or doing anything like that. He said, John baptized you with water. That's not what I'm talking about. This is totally different. Here's what I said. But you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Not water. This is a whole different experience that we're talking about. You say, well, I got baptized and I got all this stuff and I've got the Holy Spirit. You got an element of the Holy Spirit, but I want you to know there is something about receiving the precious gift of the Holy Ghost in your life, understanding that there is a power, there is an anointing that will come on the inside of your life that will change you and transform you. I'm not talking about water baptism. I'm talking about Holy Ghost baptism. I'm talking about when the Spirit descends on you and changes everything about your life. Jesus was reminding them once again, this is God's plan. This is what I was talking about. This is what I taught you in John 14 and John 15 and John 16. And when I was taken away in the book of Luke, this is what I was talking about. When I breathed upon you and I said, receive you the Holy Ghost, I was marking a day that is coming that you shall receive an anointing in your life that is going to change everything about you. But all this time, Jesus has been holding off. This is what the Holy Spirit showed me. He had been holding off the final revelation of what it was about. There was one piece of the puzzle missing. Why did I need it so bad? Oh, yeah, I know he's going to teach me. I can get in the Word. I can be taught about that. I can get witnesses. I can get all this other stuff. Jesus made this very plain. No misunderstanding of what he was about to say. Acts 1:8. And you shall receive power. You're going to receive power is what you're going to do. Do you realize that was the place right here in Acts 1:8 that he brought it out into the public about what the Holy Spirit, the finality of the Holy Spirit is about. It's about you receiving power. It's about there being a transformation. It's about dunamis. Same word we use for dynamite, explosive. You say, that's why when you get in the church and the Holy Spirit begins to move, it just like kind of like explodes. The praise begins to explode. People start dancing. People start coming through the aisle to the front and they start praising and worshiping God. Why? Because it's the explosion of the Holy Ghost that's on the inside of them. You walk in the building and it feels like there's binging everywhere. It's like there's electricity in there. Why? It's because it's that dynamite power of the Holy. Sometimes I'm like, Lord, let me light a match in Generation Church and let's see if we can get an explosion here this morning, because there is a power that comes when the anointing and the presence of the Holy Ghost comes in a building. See, Jesus, hey man, I like that. Raising that boy right. That's the explosion. You say, well, Pastor, that's just a kid crying out. I want to think he's feeling the Holy Ghost in the house this morning. I want to tell you, not only do adults need the power of the Holy Ghost, I pray on the children's building up there, Lord, slay them in the Holy Ghost and let them come out talking in tongues. Let them be filled to the uttermost. Every one of them, let them be filled with the power. It's from the youngest to the oldest. He said in the book of Joel, on your servants and handmaidens, on your young, your old, your rich, your poor, you're black, you're white, you're Hispanic, it doesn't matter. I want you to know this morning, the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost is for everybody that's sitting in the building this morning. It don't matter if you got a degree or not a degree. All you got to have is breath in your body and the Holy Ghost will breathe on the inside of you. Hallelujah. Give him praise. See, Jesus didn't want the disciples huddled behind closed doors in fear. And he don't want you doing it either. He don't want you feeling like you're relegated to nothing. Can I tell you, this life is not about survival. It's not about just getting by. No. You missed the word. That's not what it's about. When I read scriptures, that tells me that greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. When I read scripture that says I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. When I read scriptures that says that I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus that loved me. When I read that I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. When I read, if I can believe all things are possible to me. When I read, with God nothing shall be impossible. It tells me that there's got to be an aid. There's got to be a power. It's not about surviving and getting by. Listen, Generation Church will never go into survival mode. We're going in the mode of the Holy Ghost is what we're going into. It's not about surviving. It's not about just getting by and say, hang on, honey, let's just batten down the hatches until the Lord comes. I'm saying no way. I'm saying let's enter this community with the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost that breaks every chain, runs every devil out of White County, and brings freedom to every home that is here in this ability. Hallelujah. See, those scriptures don't sound like barely making it to me. Jesus wants you to live in power. He wants you to live in authority, not bound by anything. If there's a bondage in your life, you know why it's there? Because you're not allowing the fullness of the Holy Ghost to come in you. Yeah. Yeah, you haven't given full access to Him in your life. Oh, you know that little, what was that, dippity-doo, a little dip-a-do-you, whatever, them old things, if you're 50 or older, you remember that little thing? A little dab-a-do-you, whatever it was. I'm not talking about the Flintstones, dab-a-dab-a-doo either. But what I'm telling you is, there's when I get into the presence of the Holy Spirit, I don't want a little dab. I'm saying, Holy Spirit, I want you to smear it all over me. I want the anointing all over my life. I want it from the top of my... It's just like when Moses anointed Aaron. The word said, and it flowed from the top of his head all the way down to his garments, all the way to his feet. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost wants to get in every part of your life and change you and transform you. It's for every bit of you. That is God's plan for your life. And then it began to happen. Jesus wanting you to live in power. Then in Acts 2, the plan came to reality. Here's what the word said. And when the day was fully come, there are places that we've lived on the edge, a little taste. Some of you had a little here, a little bit of there. But there's a day He's going to fully come to you. I mean, listen, you play on the creek bank long enough, you're going to fall in. It's dangerous come Generation Church. Because all the Spirit's going to do is get stronger and stronger and more and more. And next thing you know, you're going to be overwhelmed by it. You're going to be like the rest of you. You're going to be shaking and jerking. And somebody be looking at you. You know when it happens to you is when you bring a visitor. I know some of you moved from one side of the church to the other because you know somebody over here is going to shout, and I can't let my visitor get too much of that stuff. Oh, I remember as a kid bringing girlfriends to church, and it was Pentecostal church, and it's like if you knew so-and-so would be out, you could take them because they was going to be the shouting ones. Anyway, but I understand this. It began to come. Here's what the word said. And there was a sound from heaven. That ruach, that breath of God beginning to blow, there was a sound from heaven, a rushing mighty wind. And here's what it said, and it filled all the house. This building is dedicated to the power of the Holy Spirit. That building down the road that we're getting ready to construct, every bit of that property is dedicated to the power of the Holy Spirit. There's 3.39 acres there. I'm saying, God, fill every inch of it. Every down to every millimeter, every little 16th of an inch that's there. I pray that you fill it with the Holy Ghost. I pray when the workers go on the job and they begin to construct that building, they feel the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Listen, I just pray one day let it break out on the grounds right there and let there be a Holy Ghost. Listen, we got to arbor out there messing me. We'll run out there one Sunday morning. We'll jump underneath that tin's got holes in it and say, Holy Ghost, rain on down right here, and let everybody driving by on Generation Church, let them see the manifestation of the Holy Ghost in action in our midst. And it said, cloven tongues set on them. And they were all, verse 4 said, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. It was not man that did it. It's God's plan. of what God did there. Now the plan is in action. And can I tell you this? The Holy Spirit is here to stay. These people that were once afraid, they were once worried, they were once in fear huddled behind a door. Now then they were in an upper room that they were transformed by the infilling of the Holy Ghost. What had happened to them? They touched the power line is what they did. And when they left the upper room, they confronted a lost and dying world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that very day, the word said 3,000 got born again. Why? It was because somebody was willing to embrace the plan of God in their life and say, God, if you want to fill me with the Holy Ghost, fill me with the Holy Ghost. But can I tell you, you won't leave the same that you came. There will be something. Listen, they were different men and women when they exited that upper room. There was a power and anointing that 3,000 got saved. I'm saying, God, bring the harvest in, and the harvest comes by the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Oh, go ahead and come. They took Jerusalem by storm. They broke out of that upper room. I mean, they were healing the lame man. They walked up to the temple at the hour of prayer. They were performing signs and wonders and miracles. They were casting out devils. Why? It's because they had powers, what they had. It's because God's purpose was coming forth in their life. Everything that they did, everywhere they moved, it was the Holy Ghost. It's God's plan to bring radical transformation to your life. Acts 4, when people are now describing Peter. I love this. Acts 4, verse 8. Here's what I said. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost. I pray every one of you that you get labeled on your job. Here's Susie and Sally and Jim and Jimbo, whatever, filled with the Holy Ghost. Here they come. Here comes that Bible thumper. Here they come in there. They're going to be using it. They know when you show up, they're going to be talking about Jesus. They can be talking about what the Holy Ghost did in the house. They can be talking about people that their lives, that miracles happen, because that's what God wants to do. It is God's plan for your life. That you be so transformed. And this is no longer Peter the fisherman. This is Peter that's filled with the Holy Ghost. I pray he gets so pronounced in your life. And when they say, he's just full of the Holy Ghost. What's wrong with him? He's just full of the Holy Ghost. What a commentary. Why did that? Because it was the moment that changed his life forever. In that upper room, when he got a hold of the God's plan in his life, it changed him, it transformed him. The man that had turned his back on Jesus in the most desperate hour of his life was now transformed. And listen, the Holy Ghost, I just heard this, the Holy Ghost will transform you so much, you might be carrying baggage with you right now. Do you know he laid the baggage down in that upper room? He never brought out again about how he'd failed the Lord. He laid down the spirit of condemnation. He laid down the spirit of guilt. Because I'm going to tell you, condemnation and guilt and all this other stuff cannot exist with the Holy Ghost. You say, Pastor, you don't know what I'm carrying. I don't have to know what you're carrying. All I have to know is I know what the Holy Ghost can do in your life. You'll get him in there, and every bit of that stuff, it'll be like a bunch of roaches when you turn the light bulb on. They're going to run for the corners. They're going to get out of it because they cannot stay where the Spirit and the power and the anointing of God is at. I want to tell you, I don't know what you're dealing with this morning, but I'll tell you, if you'll get the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost, it'll straighten your life out. It is God's plan for you to have that anointing in your life. You come into the contact, you'll never be the same. Once it comes into your life, Philip got so full of the Holy Ghost, he went down and won a whole city. He runs down to Samaria. I mean, devils are jumping out of windows. People are getting healed. All these things are happening. It's just going crazy. The power of the Holy Spirit, it changed the world like they never, everywhere they went. I'm talking about miracles happen. The Holy Ghost is so real in the New Testament church that where do you figure out you can draw somebody out in a couch or a bed and lay them in the street, and Peter, that is full of the Holy Ghost, get the right angle of the sun and my shadow hit it. I'm so full of the Holy Ghost that they get healed in the name. I'm telling you, you're about to see signs and wonders and miracles like you've never seen before in your life. You say, God can't do it. Excuse me. Don't you tell me what God can and cannot do. My God is a sovereign God, and the power of the Holy Ghost is going to move whether you like it or not. I'm saying, God, do what you want to do in Generation Church. Pour out the anointing. Mess up every program, everything we've got, and let the anointing fall like it's never fall before. Woo! Hallelujah! What's wrong, Pastor? I'm feeling the Holy Ghost. I'll do some kung fu on the devil this morning. I'm feeling it. I'm feeling the Holy Ghost power. I mean, they walk down them streets. Devil's running. Here comes Peter. Man, can I tell you, He's not a devil in hell, knows how to deal with you full of the Holy Ghost. They looked, oh no, here he comes, here he comes, here he comes, here she comes, here she comes, here she comes. Hey, full of that power that we can't do anything about. That thing that them old dead pastor said that the devil created. I'm sorry, that thing's not of the devil, it's of God sent down from heaven, and it's going to run us. I want to tell you, we need to get so full of the Holy Ghost that every devil's run out of White County. If you'll get full of the Holy Ghost, he'll run the devil out of your home. He'll run out of your teenagers. He'll run out of your husband. He'll run out of your wife. He will do what he needs to. But you got to get full of the Holy Ghost. That is God's plan for your life, is get full of the Holy Ghost and see what God will do for you. Come on, put it on me, oh. Put it on me, oh. Yes. 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 I'm about to explode. If I splatter on the wall, just clean me up. That's all I can say. Tell you, the Holy Ghost has never stopped baptizing people. Do you realize it's recorded every century since the New Testament church that there was the experience of the glossolalia, of the anointing, of the power? Every century there has been somebody talking in tongues. There's been somebody receiving the river. I want to tell you, when it started flowing on the day of Pentecost, it has never stopped knowing. I want you to know this. These people want to get behind the pulpit. Well, that was good for the apostles. They ain't never been to Walmart, have they? I don't know what Peter would have done if he walked into it. But can I tell you, you better have it. Can I tell you, with the demonic force that's been released in this world, with the spirit of Antichrist, with the spirit of lawlessness that is released in this world today, you better have anointed. You better be full of the Holy Ghost. Listen, your family needs you to have the Holy Ghost. Your family needs you to have the anointed. Your family needs, I want to tell you something, God is wanting you to be full of the Holy Ghost today. Listen, I'll challenge anybody. There is not one scripture in the Bible that says he's quit moving. You come too late to tell me. I'm sorry. Will not happen. We embrace the power and the working of the Holy Spirit. It's God's plan. God don't say, well, if they don't take it, let me go to plan B. No, if you don't take it, you miss it's what happens. That's just as simple as it is. I'm just cutting to the chase of everything. You say, well, do I have to? Listen, can I tell you something? I don't know what you've got to do. I'm not God. I don't whisper to you, well, you need to do this, you need to do that. I trust the Holy Ghost. I do not seek to be God in your life. And nobody else in this church does. We're going to let God be God. We're going to let the Holy Spirit do what he wants to do. But here's what I will encourage you to do. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. You flow with him. You honor him, and you allow him to do what he wants to do. See, I'm ready for an outpouring like we've never seen or experienced before. And I'm telling you, God's doing some amazing things. You should have seen here Wednesday night. April laid out on the floor right there. 20-something women around her. The power of the anointing flowing in this house. I mean, I'm talking about things that are... But can I tell you, Generation Church, we ain't seen nothing yet. I know it's bad English, but we ain't seen nothing yet. I'm on a mission. This morning. I'm saying, Father, let Generation Church 100% be Spirit-filled. See, the Holy Spirit is God's plan for your life today. And if you're not walking in the fullness and the experience of the Holy Ghost, you don't know what you're missing. Hallelujah. Sometimes you don't know what to do. But I'm telling you, all I know is I need him. That's what I know I need this morning. I need him above everything. If you need to be filled this morning, you're in the right place. Do you know what they did? This blew my mind. When you go to Acts chapter 4, these guys got filled in Acts chapter 2, right? Acts chapter 4, they've been beaten, whipped. Everything, we've been moaning and groaning. We'd have to call the psychiatric ward to deal with us and shoot us up with a little bit of Prozac or whatever the stuff is to give you. They went in and said, thank you, Jesus, I can suffer for you. How can you do that? By the Holy Ghost. They walked in the building, they begin to pray, they begin to shout, and next thing you know, the building starts to shake. I am literally praying, God, shake this physical building right here. That's what happened to them. They were full of the Holy Ghost. And you know what else happened? They just had been filled in chapter 2, and they got refilled in chapter 4.
Well, Pastor, I got enough of the Holy Ghost 50 years ago, 30 years ago. You need a refreshing. You need a refreshing. Because I'm going to tell you what, I live in such a crazy world. Man, he just about wears out on me every day. I'm like, Lord, every morning, Lord, thy mercies are renewed into me. Every day. I need to walk in him every day of my life, everything. Listen, you might need to be filled this morning. You might need to be refilled. But whatever you need, I'm going to tell you, it's here for you. Some of you here this morning, you need your life transformed by the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You said, I can't get past this. I've got this issue. Every time, Pastor, I think I'm going to run. I'm going to get into the presence of the Lord. I've always got this reoccurring thing coming alive. You need the Holy Ghost is what you need. Pastor, you don't understand. I've got these issues that I'm dealing with. I've got these addictions. I've got these things. You need the Holy Ghost. That is God's plan. But I will tell you this. You've got to be willing to get outside of yourself. Can you give me 2 more minutes? In Luke, because we're going to pray for some of you to receive the Holy Ghost. Some of you just are going to come up here just for your life to be transformed. I want to tell you this right here. Listen, go ahead, stand with me. It's just 1 second. Luke chapter 11. I understand how the enemy has used the tool of the Holy Spirit to scare people. Oh, Pastor, I'm afraid something's going to get me. Something's going to happen. I'm going to give you a promise in Scripture right here. I want to show you something. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus is speaking, and he's speaking about the Holy Spirit, talking about if a son asks a father about giving him certain things. And here's what he's talking about. When he's talking about father and son, he's talking about a born-again relationship. You have to be born again to receive the Holy Ghost. But can I tell you, you can be born again, and 5 seconds later, you can receive the Holy Ghost because he is holy. But here's what he said. You will not receive anything harmful. Here's the principle. He said, if you ask of a fish, will he give you a serpent? If you ask of bread, will he give you a stone? Or will he give you a scorpion if you ask an egg? Here's what he was saying. He said, no. The principle is this. What you ask for is what you get. God is able to protect you. So you don't have to worry about, is something crazy going to happen to me? You don't have to worry about that. That's a promise of the Scripture right here, that he will protect you. It is God's will that you receive. Listen to this. Here's what he said. How much more will your Father, which is in heaven, give you the Holy Ghost? It's God's will. It's God's plan that you receive. How do I get filled? 5 little things right here. Number 1, you've got to ask. Ask, and it shall be given. He said in verse 10 of Luke 11, everyone that asks receives, and you get what you're asking for. I'm making this easy. Number 2, you receive in faith. Every blessing from God is by faith. Do you realize it was 10 days they were commanded to wait in the upper room? But he said, but wait. Do you realize day 8, day 9, is it going to happen? Is it going to happen? God, are you going to do it? Are you going to do it? Yes, you receive it by faith. That's why I said when it was fully come, here's what you do. In the meantime, you make yourself available. Lord, I'm available to receive. I'm available to receive. But here's what I like in Acts 19. Sometimes I've seen people have to wait. So how many of you here received it the first time that you were seeking for the Holy Spirit? Few. How many it took a while? Look at that. But here's what's so important. In Acts 19, Paul lays hands on them and immediately they receive. I don't know how it would be with you. It's not my problem. God will touch you. We believe in the laying on of hands. That's what Paul did, the point of contact. Can I tell you this? You can know this. Come to this altar. Nobody will beat you, jerk you, push you, knock you, because I will excommunicate them if I hear about it from the altar team. We don't believe in that junk. If the Holy Ghost can't do it, man sure enough can't. Can I get a big amen on that? That's my commitment to you as pastor. And if anybody ever tries to do something crazy with you, you let me know, and I will deal with it. That's not a damper of the Holy Spirit. That's more where he can work. We lay hands. That's the coming together of faith. That's coming together in agreement of what God wants to do in your life. You're seeking the Holy Spirit. You're seeking power, not tongues. But understand this. But he the tongues will come when he does, because here's what he does. He announces his arrival. I'm here. That's how he does. But what you're doing, you're seeking power. God, I need power. That's what you're seeking for, the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit in your life. And then always know this, and while you're being prayed for and while things are happening, do you realize in Luke 24, here's what it said. He had just given the command, go and tarry in the upper room, and here's what it said. And they continued in praising and in blessing. It is always praises and it's always blessings that brings the power of God in your life. I'm here to tell you, God is wanting to move in some lives. Every head bowed across this building. Everyone.
Thank you so much for tuning in to today's message from Generation Church, North Georgia. Please stay connected with us by subscribing to our podcast and help us to spread the good news of Jesus by sharing today's message with your friends. You can also connect with us on social media via Facebook or Instagram. Until next time, God bless.